Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
With the New York football Giants, there are some positives here, not just in that game on Sunday, obviously, with the big, three quarters that they had, the big lead going into the fourth quarter, but just spinning it forward, BT, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, these two games at Denver, at Philadelphia, whether it was before the season started, whether it was after Jackson Dart took over as the starter, whether it was leading right up until the game last week, those two games to me were a very difficult back-to-back, and we said that they just need to get at least one to still have a season. So I know at 2-5, it's not great, and it's not looking likely about a postseason berth. However, if they could figure out a way to get a win here against Philadelphia, and I know it's not going to be easy, and it's Tuesday, so we still got ways to go before you have the gut feel, really, of what's going to happen with this team. But anything is possible. That stands true. Even in the loss on Sunday, Jackson Dart showed that. Anything's possible. And if they win this game, I do think the Giants can still make a run and be a postseason team.
They can hang around. Listen, here's the thing for me. I think anytime you get an unexpected surge. Like, of course, when Jackson Dart took the field, Giant fans were pumped up. And then you beat two good teams. And then, as we do as fans, we get out in front of our skis a little bit. We did it with Tom Thibodeau back in 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, the Knicks are back. And maybe that was the early sign, for sure, of the Knicks coming back. But that was quickly thwarted by the Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks here. I think from a micro perspective, it's obviously going to be very hard to make the playoffs. And I'm with you. I'm not saying they can't beat the Eagles, but you look at the schedule, the Niners, it's daunting. It's going to be very hard. But from a macro, from a bigger, a view or snapshot for me, I'm buying the Giants as a stock. There's so many things I love. It seems like their entire culture is flipping. Their energy is high. And that all comes to the quarterback. Now, again, when you talk about this, you talk about Dart, you talk about the future, you talk about the Giants in totality, it always goes back to, is Dable going to be? I almost don't even want to do that now.
But that's going to be that is going to be a big part of it the rest of the year.
Indisputable, right. No doubt. And if the optics aren't pretty and the Giants, just start getting mopped by these really good teams, which I don't think that they will, but if they do, then that is a real obvious discussion. And even if they play okay and they lose most of the games, Dable could still be gone. The only reason I say I don't even want to get into that now, or at least, as the main central topic today, at least pertaining to this discussion, is because to me that overshadows the good.
Right.
And they got their quarterback. The entire team loves him. They follow him. He emits energy. He's got incredible talent. So I'm kind of getting hit from every direction. Like, I don't love Dable. I don't love the DC, but I love the quarterback, and I do believe in the future of the Giants.
It's hard for me to let go. First of all, I have an issue with letting go in the past to begin with, but it's hard for me to let go of what happened in week two, and then it happened again last week against Denver. But I could make a legitimate case that what happened the first three quarters is more, I don't even want to say impressive, more meaningful moving forward, because if it didn't happen in week two, what we would normally be saying is, yeah, but that's a game that they won't blow the next time. It's a young quarterback.
They'll learn from it.
It was a horrible blown lead, whatever, but there's no way that that's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that it happened in week two, so it did happen again. So Outside of that, though, I think there was a lot more good than bad in Denver. It is more impressive. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think Jackson Dart and the Giants were going to go in there and look as good as they did for the majority of that game in a what I thought a very difficult spot against the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion, one of the better teams in the AFC, if not the best team, certainly outside of the Chiefs in the AFC. And again, this is my thought. So if they go in there and look as dominant as they did through the first three quarters, I'm impressed. Even with the result being the loss and the way that it went down, I'm still impressed and encouraged that, okay, it's a loss, it's brutal, it potentially kills the playoff chances because you have five losses through 7 weeks, like you do the math, especially with their schedule. However, I am not ready to put the nail in the Giants' coffin just yet. That would come if they lose to Philly on Sunday, but this is still a huge game. Not as big as it would have been had they won. This is still a huge game, BT, and I think they have as good a chance to win as anybody else.
Yeah, I think that they've earned that respect. I really do. I think when you look at teams and seasons and try to piece things together, a lot of times we almost get fooled into, well, you know, maybe they could do this. It's more out of hope rather than the reality of what they presented us, because we, especially with football, where we've been so desperate for the Jets and the Giants to get their act together, the first little crumb, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm all in. Here we go. And again, that's why I use the term getting over our skis. We probably did that a little bit here. I don't know if this is the right way, the wrong way, a good way, a bad way, a stupid way, a smart way. I don't know what way this is to look at it, but in some way, don't you think the 19-0 lead over the first three quarters of the game, in a lot of ways, is it? I know this is why it's going to sound dumb. Overshadows the meltdown loss. You get the loss, and it very well could be a season crusher. But the three quarters, like, the Giants did so many good things. It wasn't a mirage. It wasn't fool's gold. They didn't have a trick play. They didn't jump. Like, it wasn't like Denver was besieged with injuries. They went onto that field for the first 45 minutes of the game, and they punked a really good team with a really good coach. And while they lost, that's got to mean something big picture. It's got to.
Yeah, and really their record is 2-2 with Jackson Dart as a starting quarterback. And you could argue that it should be better. It certainly should have been better. I'm not even giving them the Saints loss. Like, that was a bad loss. Rookie mistakes left and right with Scadaboo, with Jackson Dart. That happens. They should have won this game on Sunday. So if you look at it overall, we said this after the Eagles' victory, that they pounded the Eagles on Thursday night. Like, to me, the same old Giants, the idea that the Giants were, you know, one of the worst teams and just going into each week like, ah, oh, man, they're going to get pounded, that was put to bed Thursday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. I still had doubts against Denver only because I thought Denver was that good, and I still believe Denver is that good, which to me then should elevate the Giants even further. And I look at the landscape of the NFC. You look at the landscape of the NFL, but let's just stick to the NFC. I mean, I'll say the same thing. I think that the Lions are good. Probably the best team. Yeah, Seahawks good, Niners good, Bucks fine, but like Eagles good. Like, no, to me, none of those teams are that much better. Maybe outside of the Lions are that much better than the Giants. And even the Lions, who the hell knows? Like, they could be inconsistent at times as well. So with Jackson Dart under center, with Burns, who's been one of the best defensive players in the league, period. Like, not just a standout for the Giants or in the NFC East. He's been one of the best defensive players in the league, period. They have a defense that's ready to win now. They have a quarterback that's taken this team to new levels. If they win this game on Sunday, then I do think, like, 3-5, you're right there with a chance. A chance. Now, again, going to be difficult,
yeah,
but a chance to be still have a relevant season as far as the results go this year.
And by the way, relevance, let's define relevance pertaining to this team at where they are in this stage of their development. For a team like the Lions, you know, who wasn't too far away from the Super Bowl a year ago, you know, their curve or their scoreboard is different from what the Giants should be, because the Giants are just starting. So to me, when you say that the Giants have a chance to be relevant the entire year, I agree. But for me, my definition for this team would be getting into December 1st with a, again, unrealistic, but still a mathematical puncher's chance to do something with a wild card. Like, to me, that is a relevance, because now when you have a tone that is competitive from really week one, even though they didn't play well against Commanders, but it's a 4.5 month journey of playing games that matter. Think about what that does for the young quarterback in the locker room. And this is why, Sal, I was saying, and you know, my mind was wandering, is they're up 19-0. I'm sitting there saying, yeah, all right, I told Sal this yesterday. Miami's getting spanked. The Saints stink, whether it's Waddle, whether it's Olave. I really think that the Giants, before they blew the game, were really going to go out there and get a wide receiver. I still think that they should, because I think that, you know, I think that the quarterback Jets earned it. I think that the locker room has shown enough where they deserve it. And it's another little, you know, asset so that when we get to, not that we're at 2026 yet, but when you get there, you know more about this team and what you have to do in the offseason. Yeah. They got a lot going for them.
Yeah, adding a wide receiver will help Jackson Dart here. And again, the remainder of this season is going to primarily be about evaluating Dable and Dart together, and maybe even more so just Dable, because that Dable and Dart had success in Denver, but they didn't figure out a way to win a game. That's going to be on the head coach. We know the quarterback's not going anywhere. So I'm sure that that will be the bulk of the remaining of this season for once and for all evaluating Brian Dable here. But the season's not over yet. And even with the bad loss and the result, to me, those first three quarters, the way the Giants played in that game was more encouraging moving forward and proved me wrong. I didn't think that they could do that yet. I didn't think that they were there at that level yet to go on the road in that environment and compete at that level. Now, they lost the game, but even though the result was not favorable, the one that was expected if you thought Denver was going to win the game didn't play out that way. The Giants, to me, showed a lot more in that loss than they've shown in some wins in recent years. So I think it's possible.
That's true.
I think it's possible
That's
they could beat the Eagles here. And I don't know where I'm going to go yet as far as picking them. Yeah, I mean, think about
it. That is a true statement.
Well, even in the playoff year, right? We get excited about the playoff year, but we knew that it was never really legitimate. The hope was that, okay, well, in year one, Dable can turn things around with Daniel Jones, and now in year two, take another step, throw the ball down the field, you know, actually throw the ball down the field, open things up a little bit more. That never came to fruition. That never happened, and obviously things only regressed. This is different. This is real. You already beat the Chargers. You beat the Super Bowl champion Eagles. You could have easily beaten the Broncos on the road, the best defense in the NFL right now. So for me, there are real reasons to believe in it. Now, again, we'll find out what happens Sunday, and the Eagles are getting hotter, and they look better against Minnesota. I'm sure they're going to be looking for revenge on the Giants and looking to send a message. This
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
To me, now will definitively be the game that defines this season. Not Dable and Dart.
Yeah.
Not next year. Not, knocking the Giants back down to earth. This season, as far as this season goes, even at 2-5, there's still an outside chance if they beat the Eagles on Sunday.
See, I wonder where the Giant fan is today. Because you think about the 24 hours of emotion, right? And during the Denver game, it's primarily they're euphoric. You know, I know that they're thinking playoffs. I know that they're thinking trades. I know that they're thinking, you know, they're thinking big things. And why wouldn't you? Because the Giants gave you, you know, 2 hours plus of reason to think big. And then they collapse. And then the euphoric, you know, that incredible high, that wave that Giant fans have been desperate to get back on. Now it goes to despondency. And that, I mean, that's a flip. So today, to me, is like the real field of the Giant fan. The euphoric, you know, buzz is gone. The despondency should be dissipating. Now it should be back to a practical take on this team. That's what I think. Because, you know, during the game, we're not reasonable. We're not logical for the most part. After the game, we're not reasonable. We're not logical. I would be surprised. I know we'll get these calls here, obviously. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the fan. I would be surprised if the Giant fan today doesn't come across as resilient, encouraged, not happy with the loss, but still big picture feeling good about this team. They should.
You know, and thinking back to it, too, remember we were talking, we'll have Brian Baldinger on a little bit later. We'll get into the Knicks and some baseball stuff as well, maybe a little Jets as well. You know, looking back at the beginning of the season and thinking, where can Jackson Dart start and the soft landing spots and this and that, the one thing I would not have done is have him play against the Eagles and then have to go into Denver and then again Philadelphia. And obviously he's the starter long before that. And so far, to me, even with the interception, even with not being able to get a first down there on those final two drives, whatever it may be, you know, a pass interference, whatever, down the field, it was a success, more so than you could ever have asked for a rookie quarterback. Now, you can maybe get excited about what you saw in the preseason, certainly what you saw in fill-in spots, and then against the Chargers in his first official start. But to think that this would happen against the Eagles and then in Denver, I think that is as good as anybody could have hoped for. And now, after this weekend, like, they're going to be through the most, to me, most difficult part. Niners aren't easy, Bears aren't easy, Packers, Lions, and so on. Patriots not going to be easy. But moving forward, regardless of the result, this is a great thing to have Jackson Dart experience this now, as opposed to waiting and maybe having this experience next year. Like, he's going through the gauntlet right now, and he's passing with flying colors.
He hasn't looked overwhelmed at all.
Right.
Matter of fact, like, you know, I remember young quarterbacks and a couple of guys that come to name, like Mac Jones when he was drafted, clearly overdrafted, not a good athlete, average arm talent. But you could see, and I remember watching him against the Jets, obviously, a couple times early. I'm like, this guy's not that good at all. I didn't even like him in college. But you could tell that they were kind of working around some of his athletic deficiencies. The thing that's pretty apparent to me with Jackson Dart is there's nothing he can't handle. He can handle a playbook. He can handle going on the road against better teams that have already been. Broncos were a playoff team a year ago, so Philly champions. I mean, he just doesn't seem overwhelmed, and that's why for me, and some others are saying put him in week one, put him in week two. You and I weren't saying that because I was trying to protect him. I wanted a softer landing. Right, admittedly, that's why I kept saying the Saints are in Chicago week 10, week 11, whatever it is. He has already proven that he is so resilient. And so far ahead of what we thought, he's got the whole package. Now it's up to the Giants to properly insulate him with the things that you need. You know, young players to eventually become MVPs and champions, and who knows if that's his path, but you can't say that it's not, and that's the best part of the season.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steven is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I needed a day before I could just reach out to you guys. That was tough yesterday, Sunday. Guys, I know you just mentioned a wide receiver. How about a general manager going out and finding a professional kicker, someone that could kick the ball and where we don't have these issues anymore? Mm. We are a professional NFL team. Tell me if I'm wrong that I watch the NFL everywhere. Guys that make it 60 yards, 50 yards. You know what's going to happen next week? You know what my nightmare is? When they drive down to Philly on, you know, the fourth quarter with 30 seconds left, and you're asking this kid to make a 47-yarder in that pressure to win the game?
They can't. There's no way they could trot him out there again, Steven. And thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. Look, I get it. And those are the little things. Like, we could talk about Jackson Dart and be excited, but those are the little things that are preventing the Giants from winning. And it's happened for years. That's why we talked about it yesterday. Whether it's Dable, whether it's Shane, they could minimize those things or overlook those things. Specifically kicker in this particular conversation here.
Yeah.
You can't overlook that and expect to get away with winning. Like, you can't get away with not having a kicker and win football games. You're not that good, period. And you're certainly not good enough to overcome not having a kicker. And that's been proven over the last couple of years.
We can sit here and complain about the kicker having too much juice on the outcome, which I've said many times, but it doesn't matter until they change the rules or until the actual impact of the kicker is minimized. You better get yourself a kicker. Now, the problem with the kickers, and I said this yesterday, obviously there's year-to-year volatility, all right? Kind of like bullpens. We were talking about that. But the other thing, too, like if you want to get a corner or a rusher or a receiver, whatever, any position, really, the tape is much easier to identify because you can tell speed and disengagement. It's very hard. I'm not excusing the Giants. They got to find one. most good teams do. But, like, here's the way it goes. All right, we need a kicker. Bring these three guys who are on the street. You know, bring them to the facility. Not an ounce of pressure. Here's the snap. If it's even snapped, it might be off a tee. And let's see who looks the best. And at that point, it's like taking batting practice off a 70-mile-per-hour fastball for a minor leaguer who's trying to get a job as the fourth outfielder. They're going to smoke the ball. I mean, so any kicker with no pass rush and not 90,000 people screaming at them, they are going to look functional. I think it's, in a crazy way, it's probably the hardest tape to identify, but that's their job. They got to get one.
And there's no way they could let this kid again kick this weekend or ever again for them. Tyler's calling from New Windsor. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up, Tyler?
The other guy said, I got to take a day and really look at it. But I'm big on the, for you're talking about the season outcome and looking at what you can kind of take from this. I think you do go get a wide receiver. I mean, a guy who's under contract control. You also don't get rid of Dable. And I think you really have to put this loss on Shane Bowen. Defensively, they fell apart. I mean, Deontay Banks is just giving up on plays. He's done this 3 weeks in a row now. You can see it on the tip ball in the end zone. Yeah, another Phillips one against the Eagles.
Phillips got beat, too. I know. Well, yeah,
it's
just
not,
Banks.
1,000%.
And it's not just Bowen, either. But look, I mean, we went over this yesterday, Tyler. Like, you're a Giant fan. You're not excited about the idea that they could potentially sweep the Eagles here on Sunday?
Oh, I don't think anybody's not excited about that if you're a Giants fan. We've been waiting to beat the Eagles for how long? You know, not in a Week 18 game that doesn't mean anything when they're sitting all their starters.
Right, but
I can't tell you the last time we beat the Eagles.
No, it was last Thursday. And thank you for the call.
I think you meant swept them. I don't even know.
Maybe a little confusion there. Well, no, I still get the frustration. Obviously, we took calls all day yesterday for 4 hours about the loss on Sunday. Today, and you could still call and be mad at Dable or Bowen or whatever the case may be. I would. Tuesday, new week. Like, that's it.
We played
the Monday night games last night. It's on a Week 8, and the season is still there. Now, one of the reasons why it's so fragile is because of Shane and Dable not addressing the kicker situation, not managing the game properly. This has happened multiple times over, and the difference in their season could, in fact, come down to what happened in Week 2 and what happened in Week 7.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable.
It's not.
But we have the rest of the season to continue to evaluate Dable once and for all.
But here's my issue with one of the points the last caller made. He said, you know, Dable's got to stay, it's on Bowen. Okay. But this goes back to the conversation that Sal and I had yesterday. If you guys missed it, because I don't want to get back into it now. The Free Odyssey app. The short version, though, is this already happened against Dallas. You're the head coach. You're the CEO. You can delegate until somebody shows the inability to do the job that you're delegating them to do. And that's why I would have fired Bowen. That's a different kind. I'm not even trying to get into that conversation. If you guys want to, that's fine. But I cannot exonerate Dable. He is the head coach. At the end of the day, buck stops with him. He's in charge of everything. And the coordinator was in a coma again. A football coma. That's on Dable.
And it was more than just the coaching. Obviously, the coaching was a big part of that. I thought it was a poorly coached, certainly fourth quarter. But it was more than just that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.